Well, hi again. This is Bob Brundage, and today is June the 28th, 2003. Way back in 1999, Brett and Mickey Moore were awarded the Silver Halo Award from Round Lab, and I've just managed to catch up with Brent finally today. We've been going around and around a couple of times, and now we're talking by phone. I'm in Albuquerque, and Brent is in his home in Knoxville, Tennessee. So, Brent, let me ask you, as I usually do, tell me about where you were born and brought up, and give me a little idea of what your life was before square and round dancing.
Okay, I was born in Gadsden, Alabama, raised in Ocala, Alabama, which was a suburb of, and I spent the first 27 years there. Went to high school there and to Auburn University and worked for the Department of Defense in Anniston. And then when NASA was moving all of its systems out of Huntsville, and we were a support operation for that, we were my group was training people in missile systems and electronics. We were getting reduced in force. And so I had an opportunity to go to the nuclear facilities in Oak Ridge. And so we moved to Oak Ridge in 1970. And it was there that I encountered square dancing.
Great.
The people that worked with my wife's husband was involved in square dancing. He eventually became a caller. And they were starting, he was getting his wife to go to basic class. And she wanted company, so she talked my wife into going. And so that's how we got involved in it.
There you go.
1974.
Okay. So you started out in square dance class, and I guess that's just about the way everybody gets involved in the activity at first.
Not everybody.
No.
In fact, as time goes along, we found that more and more people get involved in round dancing through other avenues.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And in fact, that's how we got introduced to round dancing. We had never seen it before.
Right.
We at the halfway dance of the square dance class, we saw it for the first time and immediately joined the class.
Okay.
And pursued that more avidly than we did square dancing. We continued to square dance for several years, and, but really concentrated on our round dance.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. And where did you say you were? All this took place. Excuse me, but you're a little bit weak.
That was in Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Oh, there you go. Okay, that's better.
Okay.
So, all right. Well, tell me a little bit about who some of your mentors were along the line.
Well, I've had quite a few, both in round dancing and in ballroom dancing.
Okay.
I would say probably my most dominant mentor in round dancing was Eddie and Audrey Palmquist.
Okay.
They were very close friends and really guiding lights, especially in our early years of development. I also have to recognize that Irv and Betty Easterday were important influences in
right.
our career, along with quite a few others. The movement, we were all kind of coming along together, but those had been there quite prominently early on and were really looked upon by us as central to understanding and developing as round dance teachers.
Right. What's the time frame in connection with Round the Lab? When did Round the Lab get started?
Round the Lab actually started before we started teaching. It started in 1977.
I see.
At the same time that Universal Round Dance Council started.
And oh, yes.
As a point of interest, we also received the Golden Torch Award in 1996 from URDC.
Right.
And we also were presidents of URDC, and just this past weekend we're elected chairman of Round the Lab.
There you go.
So we've been chairman of Dixie Round Dance Council a number of times, or we were, about four times.
Okay.
So all the major round dance activities we've really been involved in through the years.
Right. Well, You and Mickey, I guess, had been married some time before you got involved in the activity.
Yes, we were married several years before.
Yes.
In fact, the fact that the children were going to leave home soon was really the primary motivation for getting involved in it. In fact, Mickey came home from work one day and said, you know, man, a couple of three years, these girls are going to be gone. We had two daughters, and we're going to be sitting here watching TV, and I don't want to do that.
Right.
And so she came home a couple of weeks later and said, well, we're signed up for bridge lessons on Thursday night and square dance lessons on Wednesday night.
Okay.
And I said, fine. And as it turns out, she came from a family of bridge players. She was, her mother was a life master, and her sister was a life master.
All right.
And she was a good bridge player, but it turns out I can't play cards worth a hoot. But we both enjoyed dancing a lot.
Yeah.
So that became the focus rather than the bridge.
Good. Well, I know you've been involved in a lot of Ron Dance teaching in way of schools and so forth. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, not actually formal schools as such. We have been and still are involved in teaching at festivals and weekends all across the world. We've taught in Germany, Japan a couple, three times. Australia, Mexico, Canada, and almost everywhere in the United States that has major festivals.
Right.
And so we've really been involved in that aspect of it more than in schools for teachers.
Yeah.
Our main forte was in teaching technique, dance technique, rather than teaching styles.
Yes.
Although we did have an interest in that and still have a continuing interest in that.
Right. Well, that's basically what I meant. I know you do a lot of weekend things together and all around the country.
Right.
And one thing just occurred to me. Did you have any trouble in non-English-speaking countries?
Not as much as you would imagine. English is the universal language for round dancing as it is for square dancing. And so when we go to other countries, that doesn't present as significant a problem as you might think.
Right.
Also, we find that it's more of a barrier in explaining things when we go to Japan. However, they are remarkably strong visual learners. You show things very carefully, and it's amazing how quickly they can pick things up just from the visual showing of the figures and the combinations and the sequences.
Right.
And usually when we went, we always had interpreters if we needed to really explain something that wasn't obvious from moving in the technique.
I see.
And if something really needs to be explained, we always had an interpreter to explain it in Japanese.
Right.
It wasn't quite as much of a problem in Europe because they speak English as a sacred language in almost every place.
Yes.
And when we talked in Canada, of course, there's no problem at all.
Uh-huh.
Except for my southern accent.
Well, isn't there one of the international round dance teachers, isn't he Japanese?
Oh, yes, there's several. In fact, they've taught at the convention. Kenji and Nobuto Shibata are here now. In fact, they live in the United States.
I see.
Manobo and Rigo Imamura have taught at URDC and viewed at URDC.
Right.
So,
well, you must have been involved in quite a few festivals around where you handle the round dances.
Oh, yeah. Quite a few.
Yeah, how about?
Almost all the major round dance festivals we've worked through the years.
Uh-huh.
Some of the major square round dance combinations. Our area of expertise falls mainly in the more advanced round dancing.
Yes.
We didn't work a lot of square dance and round dance events. We've done a few. We did Silver State, and, Delaware Valley, and Tucson, and things, and some like that.
I see.
Our state festivals.
Yes.
But our primary emphasis has been on purely round dance events.
Right. Well, how about national conventions?
We've taught at a few national conventions. Not too many. We tip most of the time when we were working. The vacation time limited what we could do.
I see.
And so so we would teach at URDC because we were heavily involved in it. And the National Square Dance Conventions, when we had time to go, usually what we would do would be to schedule events. And when I ran out of vacation, that's when we stopped scheduling.
I see.
If you had a paying event, you did that rather than going to a volunteer event like the National.
Sure, right. Well,
we served one time when Memphis, first time we came to the National Square Dance, came to Memphis, we were on the round dance committee and
through
the MCs and monitors for that.
Well, you probably don't get a chance to square dance very much then.
Very rarely.
Yeah.
And usually it's, I'll jump in on squares for non-square dancers and mess them up.
Yes.
Surprising how quickly things come back. If you've got a good square that can kind of help me out when I get in trouble.
Right.
And I do pretty good on mainstream.
Right.
Maybe a little plus.
How about Contras? Did you ever get involved in Contras?
No, I never got involved in Contras.
You know, I've always had a feeling that the Contra dancing should appeal to round dancers, primarily because you're always dancing to the phrase of the music. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yes. If you're dancing to phrases, that does help round dancers. But it's still a different kind of dancing, just like square dancing.
Yes.
And the square dancing is you're dancing to position. And round dancing, and so is contras, you're dancing to a position rather than in developing the mechanics to dance with a partner.
Right.
And rotating and turning and doing the different moves with a partner is a different kind of system.
Yes.
To do in addition to dancing with the music.
I see.
That's one of the challenges that I think people face when they come out of square dancing or contra dancing into rounds, is making that transition and movement, and then they have to learn another method of movement.
I see.
For some, it's a difficult transition. Others don't have quite the problem with it, and my general feeling is the sooner you get people moving through those sequences where they don't really develop habits about or muscle memories that are very strong about certain things, the better off you are, because their bodies are ready to receive more information. If they stay in one place too long, the habit becomes so ingrained that it's very difficult to get them to change.
Yes, that's interesting, right? Well,
and that applies in ballroom dancing as well. If you stay at one mode of dancing instead of continuing to develop, then you'll reach a point where habits become very difficult to overcome.
Okay, well, what has been your involvement in ballroom?
Well, we started taking ballroom lessons a couple of years after we started round dancing, mainly, and it's always been the focus to improve our round dancing. To learn more about the body mechanics and techniques of dancing.
Right.
And then apply them to round dancing.
Yes.
That's always been the primary driver, because the social atmosphere, the camaraderie, the feeling that you have when you are involved in the round dance area is quite a bit different. And it's really something that we intended always to maintain.
Right.
Even an inkling of moving over to ballroom.
Uh-huh.
As a full-time thing.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I interviewed the Easter Days back a little while ago now, that was one thing they pursued, too. They felt that their involvement in ballroom and going to ballroom things greatly improved their abilities as round dance teachers.
It does. There's no question about it. You learn so much more about how the technique works and how body mechanics work.
Yeah.
And you learn it much more rapidly because you're getting one-on-one feedback. It's expensive, but for a teacher, I think it's critical.
Great.
Especially if you're intending to really move up in your teaching.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten into competitive round dancing, or ballroom, I mean?
We competed early on when we were taking lessons.
Did you?
I like to say we competed twice, first and last time. We did one competition, but really that wasn't a good driver for us. We had rather work on our round dancing.
Well, good.
So we kind of changed our focus instead of working on competition routines. just round dance and make it better to understand what's going on in this. So then we really started making a lot of progress on that.
Have you done any, I probably should apologize that I don't know this, but have you written some round dances yourself?
Oh, yes. Quite a few.
Yeah.
I'm quite successful. I've got two in the Hall of Fame, as you already see, Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And one just came onto the Golden Classics list for Round the Layout this year.
Okay.
Choreography has been one of the things that I think has been an important driver in our success in round dancing. We've done some good choreography.
Right.
And also we've introduced rhythms to round dancing that hadn't been done in round dancing before, and that's probably what got us the Golden Torch Award.
Yes.
And we brought bolero into round dancing.
Okay.
For teaching bolero that had been tried. Several people had tried to introduce bolero into round dancing before, but were not successful because, in my opinion, they started too high.
They
started with more advanced techniques and without really training people in the fundamentals.
Right.
And so we kind of approached it from my model, Eddie Palmquist approach, and that was to write choreography and to present material that trained people in the basics of the rhythm first, and then you can get more elaborate in the choreography.
Right.
That was the model we followed, and it got the rhythm really founded in round dancing.
Okay. you probably don't have much time for it, but do you pursue any other hobbies?
Yes, we find time. I was a competitive runner for a while. I kind of stopped that about it's been about 10 years ago since I stopped competing. And we love gardening, so we do a lot of gardening and things like that, little projects around for that.
Well, good.
And I still walk each day.
Uh-huh.
I'm not running right now, but I intend to get back to it a little bit. But that's about it. Just
okay.
Work choreography and things like that.
Right. I've been asking most of the people I've interviewed, looking back, do you have any regrets or anything you wish you'd done a little differently?
Not really regrets about anything, no. I can see in the movement some mistakes that we made in our movement, in the round dance movement, and
right.
Probably in square dancing too, that if we had paid more attention to, that we probably would be facing with some of the problems that we're faced with now, and declining numbers and things like that.
Yes.
And that was we forgot the connectivity that's required between all dancers, and as we, especially in round dancing, I know it, and then I can apply it to square dancing too, as we became more interested in the more complex aspects of dancing, that we kind of isolated ourselves away, and I think that happened in squares too. The development of the phasing system, I think, led to that.
Yes.
And the visions that were developed in square dancing, the creating the pluses and the A1s and A2s, C1s, C2s, and all that, I think created divisions that really didn't maintain that strong social sense that keep people connected. I think dancers tended to become selfish. They wanted to do their more advanced stuff and weren't willing to tolerate or accept people who were just coming into the movement and provide that social connection that keeps them interested and keeps them coming.
Yes. Now, that's interesting. Well, that kind of leads up to the next question I've been asking. Well, in your opinion, where do you think round dancing has been, and where is it, and where do you think it's going?
Well, I think round dancing has made tremendous progress over the last, since its origins in developing its technique. And the skill levels of the dancers and the teachers, you can see remarkable differences on the floor. And that is a positive side of it. The downside is that aspect of becoming isolationist as you move up the ladder, instead of providing those connections all the way across the spectrum. The future of the movement, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not sure which way it's going. As we try to attract people to the movement. I'm not sure we have the right kinds of programs in place to do that. And we're trying to, I know Round Dancing is trying to attract people, not necessarily from square. Our traditional programs for teaching are set up to attract people from square dancing. And we've not quite made the transition as a whole, as an entire group, to do that.
Yes.
I don't think we've got the things in place to make, to train them and to put, bring them into our activity cleanly. Some people will, because some people are determined to learn. And they'll learn in spite of what our programs do.
Yes.
And they'll join the activity. But it's not very conducive to bringing people in large numbers. And then again, that's another aspect of it that's kind of strange, in that if we do that, if we start bringing people in large numbers again, start really growing again, it may indeed change the movement itself. And in that, almost everyone that I know that's involved in Round Dancing, and probably square dancing too, I'm not any bolder now, but everybody that's involved was invited. That they were handpicked to be a part of this activity. They were your friends. They were the people you knew. And that's one reason that the quality of the people in the movement are really outstanding, is because they were handpicked.
Right.
And it adds a different character than if people just come in off the street and because of an ad in the paper.
Yeah.
A different connected, differently connected people into the movement.
Well, that's interesting. I hadn't thought of it in that light. That's great. Well, I know somewhere along the line, and you probably just soon not talk about it, but I know you lost your wife, Mickey.
Yes, I can talk about that. We had a wonderful relationship and a wonderful marriage and a wonderful career together, but I'm the kind of a day-at-a-time person, and
yeah.
If something passes, it passes, and you go on to the next thing. And it was great while it was there, and like I say, we had a terrific relationship, and she was devoted to the movement, too.
Right.
Extremely much so. In fact, we were teaching up until a month before she died.
I see. Well, you've been fortunate to find another partner that's...
Oh, yes. I count lucky stars every day.
Okay.
For my entire life. For finding Mickey and then for finding you. It's just been an absolutely amazing thing.
Well, that's great.
And she's a remarkable dancer. She was a U.S. champion at one time.
I see.
Several years ago in ballroom. In a professional category for Fred Astaire. She was twice Fred Astaire national champion.
Yes.
Professional. And then she was in the finalist in the United States Ballroom Championship.
Well, that's great. Yeah, well, you're fortunate to get paired up. And, well, I think we just about wound down on this. And do you think of anything else you'd like to add for posterity?
Well, I will say one other thing about Mickey. You know,
yes, sir.
That Mickey's love of this movement and such has been recognized, and the Dixie Round Dance Council has created an award in her honor.
Good.
That symbolized her givingness and her willingness to help other teachers come along. We would have people come and stay with us, you know, over a weekend, and we would work with them.
Yes.
As they were developing as teachers, and instead of doing schools, that's kind of what we did.
Okay.
As a no-fee basis, you know, just come and we'll talk about it, and we'll see what happens, and we'll work on our techniques and make suggestions like that. And so Dixie Round Dance Council created an award that goes to teachers who have that kind of spirit, who give of themselves to other teachers to help them along.
Well, that's great.
And we just awarded the first one this past spring, and Peter and Beryl Barton were its recipients.
I'm sorry, where was that?
It was done at Fontana, North Carolina.
Oh, yes.
A week-long event there, and Peter and Beryl Barton were teaching there. That was their final teaching engagement on the road. They're not going to teach on the road anymore.
Uh-huh.
They're just going to teach at home. And, so they were presented to that that award. And unusually enough, Judy is a graphics designer. And part of her experience, and she designed the award.
Great.
And so that was kind of united us all.
Okay. Well, that's beautiful. And Well, that, I assume that's going to be a continuing thing then.
Yes. I don't know whether it'll be annual, but it'll be fairly frequent, I imagine.
Right. Well, that's beautiful. Well, Brent, unless you think of anything else, I guess we can call this a day. I appreciate your being at home on a allotted time so that I can get a hold of you by phone.
Oh, I'm just happy that we were able to connect.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
And, well, I hope to meet you around the square, as they say, somewhere.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll look forward to it.
Okay. Give my regards to your wife.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.